Hi, Rick Barraza. Welcome to Creative Coding and Windows 8 JavaScript Applications using Processing.js. In this lesson, we're going to be looking at loading image files, PNGs or JPEGs, from your project and drawing those onto the screen. We'll be rotating them around, so we'll also be using the push and pop matrix. We're also going to do one new thing here, and we're going to use a recursive call to basically start creating some generative art, right? A recursive call is when a function calls itself multiple times. We're going to see how we can set that up with our image that we're going to be drawing so that we can start creating these kind of random chaotic drawing elements. So let's go ahead and jump into our project. The structure should look very similar. Most of our projects have the same structure. We have our width and height. Here's our setup function, which sets up the stage, blacks it out. We have a draw loop, which currently is simply blacking things out. And if you notice, I've also already wired up our pointer move event, and we're setting this global target x and y variable to wherever our pointer has moved on the stage. For this one, we're only going to be dealing with a single pointer type thing, or treating all pointers as one pointer. So whenever you move a pointer, be it a mouse or a finger, you'll be updating target x and y, which we'll be able to reference here. Now, the first thing we're going to want to do is see how to load images. If you notice in my project file, under my images folder, I've added two files right here. One of them's a blade one and blade two. So blade one kind of looks like that. It's a PNG where you see here in green, Visual Studio is showing it in green. That means it's going to be transparent. And then blade two is very similar, just a slightly different shape. So I made those two in a design program in Photoshop. Dropped them here into my projects, and now they're in my solution. So in order to load an image in Processing, it's pretty straightforward once you already have it in your project. We're going to call that up in our setup function. But before we do that, let's have some place to hold these images that we're going to load. So I'm going to create another array list. I'm going to call these one blade images. I'm going to set it up like this. Now, as I come down into my setup function, just in case my target x and target y, I'm starting them at 0 here, but let me start it in the middle of the stage this time. It's not really going to do anything much, but basically start rendering in the middle versus starting over at the edge. And then this is how we load our images. I'm going to say this first element of my blade images array, blade images at box 0, put in whatever this processing function called load image returns to you. And if we call load image and we pass it in a URL to a valid image file in our solution, such as blade1.png, let me make sure, blade1.png, images folder. So load image, go to the images folder, blade1.png. Once this load image returns, it's going to put its result inside of this blade images if it finds something. We're going to go ahead and put the second blade graphic, blade2.png, into the second box of our array. So blade images 0 has a reference to one image that it's loaded. Blade images box 1 that has the second reference. That's all it takes to load an image. It does take a little bit of time, split second, if you're here running locally. That's what you do. You call load image, pass in the path, and you now have a reference to it. Let's make sure that this is working. If we already have our target, our mouse movement and targeting working here, let's first add some easing. So as we've done this before, I create a pointer for x and y, because I don't like using the offset x and offset y from my pointer moves, because sometimes I can be a little jerky. I like adding a little bit of smoothing, a little bit of easing, of elegance to it. So I create these pointer variables that will always be easing toward the target. And it's smooth enough to knock out any jitter or any noise in the system. So in our draw command, the first thing I would do is ease my pointer where I want to be minus where I am times a percentage, same with y. Where I want to be minus where I am times a percentage, Usually I do something from point 1 to point 2. There we go. If you want a little bit faster, this percentage would be higher. A little bit more slow, this percentage would be lower. But at 20%, it's pretty good. Now, just to make sure that I'm loading my graphics properly, let's go ahead and draw these images onto the stage. If you recall, when we loaded text, we needed to first create a pfont and then say load font. That's the same as up here, as we're loading an image. To actually write text to the screen, though, we simply said text. Text, we gave it the string, and we said where to put it on the stage. Same thing with image. To draw an image, you basically just say image. You say what image you want to put, and since we have them in an array, we can go ahead and put it like that. So this image, and where we want to put it on the stage. In this case, we're going to have it follow our pointer X and pointer Y. If we want to draw both of them, I can go ahead and draw the other one right on top of it. There'll be some overlap, but not too much. So let's go ahead and run this and make sure that everything's working. If I run it, it should load the images. And then as I move my mouse, we'll see that it's drawing those two graphics. It actually is drawing two of them since they're both in the same angle and they both kind of look the same. It's hard to tell right now, but there are two different images being drawn right here. Okay. To start adding certain things like rotation and scale and things like that, it's going to be best if we create a blade class that can kind of abstract that stuff out and then deal with these as classes, not just assuming that it's a fixed image. So let's come back to our code and let's start adding some more polish to this by making it a little bit more complicated. So again, we're going to want to replace this with actually dealing with these images as classes that have their own X and Y and scales and rotation properties like that. So let me create this class and I'm going to call it Blade. And my Blade class, as always, has an X and Y property. Normally we would have a VX and VY, but since we're doing a drawing, right, we don't want them really flying off. We want them to always be kind of springing toward where our current pointer is. So we're not going to do a VX and VY here, but we are going to give it something called a growth value. Set that equal to 0 right now, but we'll look at that in a little bit. We're then going to give it a rotation. And I'm going to set each one to have an index in case this becomes a value a little bit later. So therefore, so far this is what our blade class is. Now we're going to have you'll notice there's no reference to the image itself though. We're going to do that in its own render because this blade is kind of a logical abstraction. It's a class. It's only the render that really knows what it actually needs to paint on the screen at any one time. So here in our renderer, we're going to say push matrix, just as we did before, pop matrix, when we're done. This will let us do rotations and stuff like that. We're going to say, let me scale 0.8, and then translate. Translate, I'm going to give it 5 times whatever this growth is, and I'm only translating along the X, if you'll notice, for right now. If I'm going to do this, let me change the growth to 1 right now, so at least we see it. Otherwise, it would have translated nothing, right? So we're going to be translating. We're going to be scaling it down. Every time we draw a blade, we're going to shrink it a little bit, move it a little bit at that shrunken scale to the right, and then we're going to rotate also by this dot growth. A lot of this might not make sense right now because we're dealing with zeros and ones, but once we start expanding this, it'll make a little bit more sense. Just as we did in the draw matrix, each one of these renders has access to that global level array list. So inside of each blade, we can tell it to draw blade image is. Now, how are we going to have every blade class be different? We know that every blade can have an index. And it makes sense to us that as we're populating this array, we'll be able to throw out an index, like equal to whatever blade we're adding. But how can we keep that index constrained to only one of two options? We want it either be 0 or 1, right? So in order to do that, we would use a mod operator. This is what a mod operator looks like. You take its index. This allows the index to be any number you want. And then you mod it by 2. Mod's very, very helpful when you're doing creative coding, exactly to constrain these types of things. We already saw map, where I said, okay, here's map. And so here's a value between this, here's a value between this range and this range. Return me it mapped to this other range. What the mod function does, and that's this percentage sign, it basically says, divide this number by that number, and all I care about is the remainder. So it doesn't matter how many times 2 goes into index, just give me the remainder. And since you're modding by 2, your remainder is either going to be 0 or it's going to be 1. So if you were modding by 4, you would always come back a value between 0 and 3, right? That's how mod works. So if we know we have 2 images, mod it by 2, and you'll always have a valid index to your array. So draw this and draw it to wherever this dot growth is times 5 for right now, times this times growth. Now, here is the translate that we've been doing. For this code, because let's not jump ahead too far. Let's just do this dot x, this dot y. That'll make it a little bit easier. We're going to scale by this by x, this by y. Our rotation is currently 0, so here we're moving the, remember when we're using the matrix, the push and pop matrix, it's not like we're moving our pen to draw. It's like we're keeping our pen fixed and we're moving the paper around to draw. So we're basically freezing the pen and going to be moving the stage. We're translating the stage to under the pen with the translate command here. And then we're going to be doing our drawing. Our rotation right now is currently at 0, so this isn't going to have any effect. But as soon as we start using rotation, it will also be rotating it accurately. So we have a blade command with the render function. Let's go in and start using this. If we go all the way back up to our setup. In our setup right now, we simply have loaded the images, but we haven't created any blade objects. So let's do that now. I'm going to want to have, here's my array list. Let me start creating an array to handle my blade classes. This is different from my blade, my array of blade images. So I'm going to do total blades. For right now, we'll start off at 12. We'll say blade, a blade array called blades is equal to new blade array of total blades. All right, this is most of our sketches, we've done something like this, so that should look familiar by now. And in our setup function, we'll also populate it. For int I equals 0, while I is less than total blades, I plus plus. And then we go ahead and we start creating a blade. Blade blade is equal to new, we create a new blade. We give it an x. We'll start it off in the middle. We'll give it a y. We're going to give them an index equal to I. So every blade's going to have a unique index mapped to I. So it's going to, so the first one will have an index of 0. The last one will have an index of total blades minus 1, right? Since I think we're adding 12 blades right now. The last one will have an index of 11. And so whatever it is from 0 to 11, if we're modding it by 2, it's either always going to be rendering the first blade or the second blade when you call its render command, because here's where we're setting its unique index. Now, right now, we're going to give it a fixed rotation right now as well. And finally, we save this. Our blades array is equal to this new blade we created. This is our typical for loop that creates objects and stores them into our array. As usual, during our draw command, we will now iterate through this array and render them on the stage. So let's come down here to our draw command. We had our pointer moving here. Our pointer is kind of doing a regular easing. We'll leave it as a black background for right now. Eventually, we'll fade that into kind of having that color blur trail effect, that the solar flare of Processing.js. We'll use that one too, but for right now, we'll just leave it black. Let's get rid of these guys, because that's already been called in the blades render function. Now let's start looping through. For int I equals 0, while I is less than total blades, I++. We'll grab a reference to the current blade. Or we don't even have to actually, we can say I believe right now we can just do blades i.render. Let's see if this works. So in terms of building this up, we've loaded our array, and on our draw command, we're going to be moving our pointer, our blade is currently right here. Here it is. We're translating it by to this x and y before we have it draw itself. So we haven't set the x and y. So this wouldn't have worked if we wouldn't have caught it right here. For this test, let's hard code its x and y to whatever pointer x and pointer y is at any given time. Now, normally you might think, since we're drawing all these images on top of each other, we're not going to be able to see them just as we did before. But don't forget that we've given everyone a unique rotation right here. So we'll at least be able to see them spiraling in different directions, or having each blade be fixed in a different rotation. Let's run it and give it a shot, see what we get. And okay, I think what we're having here is it is drawing them. With a little bit of wonkiness. Let's come in and start making this a little more fun. Now, this was basic easing, as we saw. Let's add some elasticity to it first. In order to do that, and we already went over elasticity, I believe, when we were doing the jelly tutorial. So we can go a little bit quickly on that. I'm going to create these steps up here. We have pointer x and pointer y. I'm going to create these variables called dx and dy. And as we've seen before, these are the steps that we're taking. Down here, we've been calculating the dx. We've been calculating the steps automatically, so we didn't need to save them in a variable. We were just always adding it to pointer x, pointer y. So I'm going to break it out like this. Now at this, nothing's changed. All I did was I abstracted out the steps that we were taking into its own variable. If I run it, you won't see any difference. It still looks the same thing. It's easing to where I am. Elasticity, if you recall from our lesson, comes from not only calculating the step, but adding it to yourself. This starts getting it very chaotic. This is full elasticity. It'll never stop. So we then need to clamp it down by adding a little bit of friction. So however far away you are, you're going to take that, you're going to take a fraction of that whole step. Those steps get smaller, but since they're being cumulative, even though your last step is very small, you still have all this momentum coming from behind you. So you'll slingshot past where you want to go. You'll start recalculating, and then you'll slingshot back the other way. So by adding this easing, although your steps are cumulative, they're also getting a little bit of lag. They're also always running into friction. So you slingshot it, but not as far as you were before. And every time you slingshot back, you're picking up more friction every single time. And that's constraining your amount of velocity. So by cumulative, by keeping track and adding your steps, and then easing your steps, you go from simple easing to elasticity. There we go. So as we move this around, we see that it has more elasticity. Now the targeting seems to be off a little bit right here, so we'll check that out in a minute. Here's what's going on with the targeting. Right here, we were scaling on the matrix. Since we're scaling the matrix before we're translating, if we scale after translation, well, since we were scaling before, we were scaling the translation as well. So at 0, 0, it made sense, but as we went to the edge of the screen, it was translating only to 80% of the screen. So if you first translate and then scale, the scale will only affect everything that comes after it. But scale will always affect everything that comes after it. So you always be careful where you put scale and where you put rotation. If I refresh this, for our current test at least, we should now have accurate. There you go. We should now have accurate easing. As I'm moving around, it'll always ease back to being in that corner. Okay, let's come back to our code, keep experimenting. Let me scroll back up because that rotation didn't seem to, let's make sure this rotation is correct. Okay, so at this point, if you recall, we've been doing this push matrix and pop matrix inside of our renderer. If we didn't do this, it would start creating a massive glitch. For example, if let's just see what happens. If I push these out of here, in fact, we could have. Let's put push matrix and pop matrix. And what's worse, that's going to happen. You're going to break the program, right? So let's test it out in our draw loop. If we put them up here, let me make sure I'm doing this correct. So that I said push matrix and pop matrix. Now let's think about it. What's going to happen here? The answer is nothing. Nothing's going to be different here from what we were doing. Because as soon as we called in render, the very first thing we were doing was doing push matrix. Push matrix acts upon the whole movie, not just that particular class. Remember, because we're dealing with the entire stage background. When we call translate or scale or rotate, it's doing it to the entire movie clip. That's why they're so powerful, and it's also why you really got to watch out where you put this stuff, right? So it does, as long as we call it before all the good stuff happens in render, and as long as after render has done its translate and rotate, we clean house again, nothing's going to change that we moved it into our draw loop instead of inside of the render function. You see everything still looks the same, right? But now what happens if we let these be cumulative? In other words, inside of our for loop, we push matrix and pop matrix outside of our for loop. It actually makes a world of difference because we're freezing it once, but don't forget what every single blade is doing when you call render. Every single blade is moving itself a little bit and then scaling itself a little bit. Because of that, at no point are we ever translating back. At no point are we ever rotating back. So the first one will rotate the stage. The next one on its rotation is going to add to the global rotation of the stage. It's never just rotating to take care of itself. You're allowing this to spill over and have an effect on everything that comes after it. Normally, this would be the wrong thing to do, but since we're going to be doing some recursive calls, it's going to be okay. First, let's see how wonky it gets because we've moved it outside of our for loop. So again, all of the translations and scales and rotations are now going to be cumulative. If I run this, might not be able to even render too fast because it'll start translating too quickly. So you'll see those guys. See them kind of popping up a little bit from way down there. Everything's getting a little wonky because this one's, let me move it so that it's closer over to here. If I get closer to zero, you kind of start seeing what's going on. Let me move it a little bit. Now let's analyze this, right? This first blade is being drawn very close to where my pointer is. But the next one is already starting at the end of where the first one finished. It's also a little bit smaller. You can see that scale getting cumulative. As I moved out, you can see that all 16 of these are actually being rotated on top of each other and scaling downward. So we have this nesting of rotations, these nesting of scalings, and that's how you can start getting these very, very cool recursive generative artifacts. In order to really add some power to this, let's do more than 16. Let's think of every one of these blade classes as being a seed to itself. This is what I mean. Oops, let me close this out. Let's look at our draw code again. Everything's going to be in just inside this for loop because we're doing the push matrix up here. And hold on. Before we add too much, let's kind of do that blurry black background. So we don't background it out to black. We say fill color 000, 20. Then we draw a rectangle around the entire background. Now, because I've done this as my fill color, although I'm drawing an image, if I were to run this right now, I actually wouldn't see it. I don't believe I'd see anything. If I run this right now, oh, well, there we go. There we go. It's getting a little bit more blurry, a little bit more wonky. Okay, let's leave it like that. If you start noticing some color tweaks on this, you'd probably need to reset your fill. But since we're not having that problem right here, then we don't have to worry about it. Let's see what happens since we are dealing with some transparency. Let's go ahead and see how the fill color might affect an image. Let's see if it does. Here, after we defined the pointer before our for loop, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to reset a global fill to, let me make it somewhat greenish. And I see what I was doing. Sorry. We keep filling it with black. It doesn't have to be with black. With this particular one, since our blades are red, we have these kind of nice red blades over here. If you recall, these are the red blades that we're dropping in. So let's use a slightly different color. Let's add a little bit more color. We're dealing with color anyways. And I'm going to use a green that'll be very low in red, a little bit higher in green, and then back low again in blue. So we know that this is already going to be greenish. These numbers are all relatively low, so it's going to be a dark green. And I'm going to give it a transparency. Instead of 20, I'll just kind of do 10. Let me refresh just to see if we get green now. There we go. Hopefully you can see it there on the screen. It's more of a green tinge now. Might not show up as much on the projector, so let me increase these values a little bit. There you go. It's a little bit more green, you can tell. So we're dealing with the nice red brush. Although we see some of these edges over here are really flaying out of control over there. And then we have a nice green background that's creating this blur behind it. Good. Now let's get into some recursive drawing here. And what we're going to do a recursive drawing is, since we already have this glitch working for us, right? Since we're expecting the renderer to do its own funky thing and not take care of itself. So the next one is going to be called, and the next one's going to be called. Since we're already expecting that wonkiness, and we saw that when these guys were inside of the for loop, we know that it came back to normal. This is what we're going to do. We're going to put it back inside the for loop, but instead of just calling this renderer once, we're going to create a for loop so every blade it's going to call its own renderer multiple times. And that's what's going to have that particular brush recursively draw itself in a spiraling position. But then it will reset itself for the next high-level blade. The next blade will be drawn properly, but then spiral its own children recursively. The next blade drawn properly, spiral its own children recursively. So we're pushing the push and pop matrix back in. At this point, we're going to, instead of doing this, instead of setting it with X and Y, let's call the translate pointer X and pointer Y here. So we're going to translate to the proper position. This means that we're going to have to take it out from over here. We no longer need to translate right here. But let's finish all of one renderer and then adjust the individual blades render. So up here, as we loop through all of the blades, we've been easing the pointer toward the target. For every individual blade, we're going to save kind of the clean state. We're going to do all types of wonkiness here. And then we're going to pop it back up so that the next blade that gets drawn also gets the chance to have a fresh start and then make itself all nuts after that, right? But then clean up after itself, so that each blade has at least one fresh copy, and then it will spiral out of control. So every blade, as it comes in, it gets a fresh copy. The pad will be moved properly to wherever it should be, pointer X, pointer Y. And then we're going to rotate the entire stage based by whatever rotation that particular blade is supposed to have. And now comes the fun part. Now comes the recursive part. We're going to put the render command inside of a loop. Now, we're not going to be able to use I because I is already used up here. So let's create this loop using C. From C equals 0, and at this point, we can pretty much make up whatever value we want. Let's first start testing it with 10. C++. This is going to call that render command 10 times per blade. So if we have 16 blades, we're going to end up on every frame drawing one of those two blade images, right? Drawing them 16 times 10, drawing them 160 times. But before we do this, let's we had this thing called growth. Every blade in its render, we have this thing we called growth. We want every single one of its children to tweak its growth a little bit at a time. And this is how that works. We're going to say blades, your growth is equal to whatever C I happen to be on. So at first it's going to, C is going to grow from 0 to 10 as it calls render 10 times. Plus, and then let's give it a little bit of a fraction. Let's do something like this, which will make it a little bit neat. These are just numbers. They're just variables in magic. We can play with these. We defined dx and dy up here. They were the steps from how far away our pointer was to our target. So when we, if we move quickly and our pointer is very far away, these steps are going to be very, very big. As the pointer gets closer to it, these steps are going to get smaller. The effect it's going to have for all of the blades is when we're far away, this growth is going to be very big. It's going to be very scattered, but it will slowly ease in. It will slowly furl back in to wherever the pointer happens to be. As dx and dy get smaller, then this growth ends up getting much more predictable, much more maintainable. We can tweak these numbers once we run it to see what it looks like. And finally, we are going to do a little trick. The index doesn't have to be set in stone. We can say index plus plus, and then we call its renderer. This simply allows every blade seed to not be fixed to that one blade. It will keep toggling its index. Since we're modding the image in our render stack, it's okay. This index can grow to be whatever number we need to be. The mod will always clamp it back down between 0 and 1. So that's it on our blade command. Let's look and see what's going on there. Logically, can make sense. Numbers we're going to tweak will be this one to see what happens when we add more blades. We can tweak these guys right here as well to see if what happens if we tweak the growth. But as of right now, we're not using the growth in our render stack. So let's come back down and let's start using growth in some interesting way. When we render, the first thing we want to do is scale. As we saw, that started creating a very nice kind of spiral because every rotation is going to be scaled. Even the translations will be scaled by a little bit, and that'll start creating this kind of spiraling effect. Once we scale it, we're going to translate. As we saw already, scaling will affect the translate. That's why we're positioning the blade on the screen, the very first one, up here. What this translate is going to be doing is basically moving a little shape off the origin of our actual, of our blade class. So we're only going to be translating by a little bit. We're going to translate 5 pixels times wherever my growth value happens to be, and only move it X. So if our origin is here, then the first time we copy it, right, it's going to be 5 pixels. This next child is going to be, well, a scale adjusted 5 pixels more, and then the next child, 5 pixels more, 5 pixels more. It'll actually be shifting a little bit less than 5 pixels every step, but that's what's happening. We're basically creating a trunk with a lot of branches that would be going in a straight line. They would be going in a straight line if we weren't already going to be rotating them. Since they are rotating, they're going to be getting wonky really fast. Then we're going to rotate by whatever our growth happens to be. since we're setting our growth up here in our draw command, so that every one of the 10 children per blade is going to have a slightly different growth. Everyone will be rotated a little bit differently. And then I believe on our image, we can just go ahead and plop it in. We're going to plop it in here, times growth times 5. We're doing this here to take into account that they're translating here. And everything else should be fine. At this point, I think, well, let's go ahead and run it, see what we got. There we go. Now that's kind of cool. You'll notice as I move quickly, the blades kind of spring out and they spring back in to this level. Now this can get pretty cool. If I move fast, it gets very chaotic. Now at any given time, you could snap it, you know, take a snapshot of it, freeze it, do a control print screen. And doing these types of things, you can start generating some very cool generative patterns. It's still, there's enough control that you feel that you're drawing. But at the same time, you're now drawing with stamps of images, and this opens up the doors to all types of possibilities. You're no longer bound to simple ellipses and rectangles, you know, or even paths that you defined. Make something, take a picture of something, do this with people's faces, right? Do this with eyeballs, do this with kitties if you want, right? With puppies. But at this point, you can start having this full generative design experience, all interactive, all nice and quick. And most importantly, once you have a framework, go in and start tweaking the variables. See what happens if instead of 12 blades, if we pop this up to 16, right? Since we are doing recursive calls, do realize that every one of these changes could increase quite significantly the amount of processing you have to do, right? Because it's 16 times how many children you have. Let's come down over here into our draw command and boost it up from 10 to 20. There you go. What happens if we slow down pointer? Let's check it out. These pointer steps are coming up at here. If we slowed it down to be that, maybe knock down the children to 16. But then right here, what if we drop this to 1? There we go. It's much more constrained. If we pop this back up to, say, 5. We can see that each child blade is far more independent based on where it is in its stack. And in this way, you have to keep playing around and around. Try different images, right? Do whatever you want. Maybe don't erase it. If you simply stop painting the background green altogether, it turns into a bit of a hot mess, but try working your way out of it. At this point, here you can start creating some very, very interesting designs based on how you're doing the shadows in your graphic, how you want to come through here. Good. Have more fun. Check out those variables. Tweak them around. See what happens. Just explore, right? The whole purpose of the series has been to get you comfortable with creative coding, right? How do you put something on the stage? How do you move it around? How do you make it interactive, right? How do you render it in these kind of clever ways? So we hope you've enjoyed the series, and download the apps and download the accompanying sketchbooks. Thank you very much.